Welcome to the Reclamation Nation, where we help you reclaim control of your health and wellness. I'm Coach Ryan, a certified personal trainer, health coach, and former military physical trainer with certifications in orthopedic exercise, longevity, wellness, fitness, nutrition, and behavioral change. I have over 30 years in the fitness industry.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer. I'm a practicing pharmacist, health coach, and certified functional medicine specialist. I have over 10 years of personal and professional experience in the health and wellness field.
Our goal is to raise awareness about the responsibility and potential you have in managing your own health.
As a reminder, nothing in this podcast is designed to diagnose, treat, or cure health illnesses, but is presented as educational and entertainment material. Please consult your personal healthcare provider with any specific needs.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Coach Ryan. I am going to be alone today on this podcast because Dr. Jen is in the midst of furthering her own education into the stuff that she's doing, which is really, really cool, intriguing stuff. I'm a little bit skeptical, but I think it's good to be skeptical. I think it's good to surround yourself and have people around you who are skeptical. Skepticism means that you can be won over, but it has to be proven. And I am definitely one of those people. I fully support everything that she is doing, and I don't want there to be any misconstruence of that. I absolutely support what she is doing. I may raise an eyebrow now and then when she tells me about it, but that is only because I want it to be shown. You know that I am, if you followed me at all, you know that I am a research-based coach. I will only give my people, my clients, things that have been research-based, that have been repeated over and over, and have some basis in scientific fact, right? So I just want to see how it works. I want to know that it works. And I also understand that certain things work for certain people. They may not work for others. I get that. That's why when I developed Tackletics, it incorporated high-intensity interval training. It incorporated the mindful strength training. It incorporated the strength circuits, the set rep training. It incorporates all of that because I know not everything works for everybody. I get that. And I think the stuff that she's doing may be very similar. But listen, anything that will help people move away from the industrial medical complex, including the pharmacological complex and reliance that we have in the United States, anything that we can do that will move people away from that a little bit, I'm all on board. I hope this works. I want to see how it works when she's done. But anyway, that's why she is not here today. Now, today we're going to talk about, or I'm going to talk about, habits. You got a bad habit? You got one of those things in your life? I certainly do. It's a horrible habit. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I've got a horrible habit that I do. Part of the reason you're hearing about this is because I began researching it in cognitive behavioral change when I got certified in that. And getting certified in cognitive behavioral change led me to a whole new area of helping people live better lives. And it's part of what led to the catchphrase that I have, the motto that I have, which is physical training is a mental endeavor. There are four constituent parts of the habit loop. They are the cue, the craving, the response, and the reward. Slowly, the cue, that is the trigger, that is the thing that sets off the beginning of the craving, which is the second constituent part, which leads to the response, which is the third constituent part, which, of course, leads to the reward. Let's take the person who gets off work from a very stressful job and they drive home, and on the way home, they stop and they get a six-pack of beer or a bottle of wine, and they get to the house, right? And they go out on the deck, kick off their shoes, take off the bra, whatever it is you do, and you sit down, pop open a cold one, pour the wine, the beer, the scotch, the bourbon, the cigarette, those are not the reward. The reward is the release of what we call the feel-good endorphins, the oxytocin, the dopamine, and the serotonin in the brain that occur because of the chemical interaction of you intaking whatever it is you're taking in. That is the reward. It is the chemical response in the brain. That is the reward. It's the same thing with food. When you eat because you're under stress, it releases a chemical response in the brain and you feel better. But does it last? No, of course not. Here's an interesting side note. Exercise releases that same chemical process. Is that the cue and the reward must remain the same. And the reward, the endorphin release, have to remain the same. We can only change then the craving and the response. The response might also be considered the action. So if the cue can't change because we want to get off work, we want to wake up in the morning, right? There will come a time soon enough when we don't. If we cannot change the cue and we cannot change the reward in order for this to work, then we have to interdict the craving with new behaviors to elicit a different response, to elicit a different action. So instead of getting off work and going to the liquor store, which happens to be on our way home, isn't that convenient? Maybe we take a different road home so that it's not there. And maybe that different road leads to a park or to a natural area where we can get out, stretch our legs, become one with nature, if you will. Really exhale, really inhale fresh air, get away from the office, get into natural light, listen to the birds, listen to the children playing, whatever it is, maybe it's a park, kids playing around. Just sit on a park bench and just listen. Walk around the park and just listen and just think, analyze without judgment what happened during the day and what you're going to need to do to tomorrow. You have interdicted the craving cycle, which was prompted by the cue. The cue was you getting off work. And now instead of driving to the liquor store, you're taking a different way home. You're in the middle of a park. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. People are walking around. What a great way to interdict this craving. So your response is the meditation that occurs as you're walking around, whether you intend to be or not, right? That's your response. Maybe you think, well, there aren't any parks in my area. Well, most towns, even the small towns, in fact, a lot of the small towns promote their parks. Maybe you're in a big city. Maybe you're in a place where there isn't a park on your way home. You don't want to stop at a park because you want to get home. Fine, go home and immediately take a shower. Take a different road home that doesn't take you past the liquor store and immediately take a shower when you get there. Now, this may require that you reorganize the rest of your routine. For some of you, you get home, you have to start cooking dinner right away. I am one of those people. So maybe you prep the meal before. Maybe you find a way. Look, I'm not going to give you all the answers. You have to come up with some of them on your own. Change the routine in ways that will allow you to do the good things, to elicit a different response for the same reward. Now, if you're the person who gets up in the morning, you put on your fuzzy slippers and your bathrobe and you grab a cigarette and you go out on the back deck and you smoke your cigarette and you think, okay, now I can start my day. The cue is going to be the same. You have to wake up in the morning. Like I said, there's going to come a time when you don't. So we don't want to push that. You're going to put on your fuzzy slippers. You're going to put on your bathrobe. But what if we don't? What if we put on our gym clothes and we go down in the basement instead of going on the back deck and we do some squats and some push-ups? What if we walk around the block? What if we immediately brush our teeth and then drive to a park? What if we, you know, again, I can't give you all the answers. You have to come up with some of them on your own. Think of things that you can do to interdict the craving. Think about the habits you have. Think about what the cue is. And think about what happens immediately after the cue. What does the craving process consist of? What does the craving process consist of? And what is the response? What is the action you take at the end of that craving response that elicits the reward? There's all kinds of different things you can do. I want you to understand this is why if you live with someone who has a nasty habit, I want you to understand this is why it is so difficult to overcome these bad habits, to break these addictions. Because we know the cue and the reward must remain the same. It is in the interdiction of the craving cycle that we fall down, because it's difficult to find things that have the same tactile input. It's difficult to find things that have the same, the same taste, the same flavor, the same response. The hand-to-mouth thing with cigarette smokers, the hand-to-mouth thing. People used to say it was an oral fixation. What they say now is it's the concept in the brain of going from hand to mouth. And this is why when you try to quit smoking, you overeat. Makes sense, right? Now, instead of bringing the cigarette up to your mouth, you're bringing the food up to your mouth. It is the same. It's the same. I've been there. I was addicted to Mountain Dew and Funyuns, believe it or not. I know it sounds silly for a trainer to admit this, but I was addicted to Mountain Dew and Funyuns. And what I would do is I would play video games. So what was my trigger? My trigger was the video game. And I knew as soon as I sat down to play the video game, I had to have, well, I can't play my video game without my Mountain Dew and my Funyuns. I got to have those. That's how I overcame my addiction to Mountain Dew and Funyuns, my food addiction. I needed something that was very tactile, had the same tactile sensations as playing the video game with a controller. And I found out that writing did that for me. Makes sense, right? You see where I'm going with this? So I want you to break down your bad habits, whatever they are. Drop me a line. Let me know. And see if this works for you. Find something that has the same tactile input to whatever your addiction is. Elicit a new response. And remember that the cue and the reward must be the same. So it's got to be something that elicits the same kind of reward. You know, adrenaline junkies, addicts, people who are addicted to doing really dangerous stuff, right? Very difficult for them. Very difficult, because part of the craving process is in setting up for the thing. So let's talk about base jumpers, people who go on to very high structures or very high places. Instead of jumping out of an airplane to parachute, they jump off of a thing, whatever the structure is. Their craving process begins in the climb to the point. Their craving process begins in driving to the base to climb the thing to jump, right? That's their cue. The cue is in getting in the car. They're stoked. They're pumped. They know they're going to go do this. And that is that right there begins the craving. Now, the cue may have even started when they planned it, when they sat down and said, hey, Saturday, let's go do this thing. And the other guy says, oh, yeah, that's cool. Let's go do that thing. That was the cue. That began the craving process. Makes it much more difficult to change behavior. I'm not saying base jumping is necessarily a bad thing, but I want you to understand that the craving process can be very elongated. It can take a long period of time before you get the response, which is jumping off the cliff or jumping off the tower, right? That's the response. The reward is the adrenaline that surges through you that promotes the dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin levels, right? It sends them through the roof. We feel amazing. There's a high that goes on. When you are looking at breaking a bad habit, when you're looking at changing a bad habit, what you really are talking about, yes, the thing you do is bad, but you really need to understand how to interdict the craving process that elicits the response or the action to get the reward. So good luck. I hope this has helped a little bit. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email me. You know how to get a hold of me. I'm all over the place. Till next time, Rice out.